Amén.
Dios los bendiga, hermanos. I bless you. I have the privilege today to share the word of God with you, and it's always a privilege. I always start saying that. It's a privilege for me. Years ago, I never thought I'd be preaching. And so that's what I like to always start saying, that it's wonderful that God allowed me to share his word with you. And today we're going to study a little bit about the parable of the sower. And I just picked the last part when Jesus explained to the disciples what he was trying to teach with this parable. In Matthew 13, 18, and the 23, it reads the word of God. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one come and snatch away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed in stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For then tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the care of his word and deceitfulness and riches choke the word and then become unfruitful. But he who received the seed in the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bear fruit and produce some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And this is the part what I'll be concentrated on. In the last verse, the 23. When God touched our heart and we become a Christian, the idea is that you will produce fruit, because at the moment that you receive the Lord, you being stamped with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God changed your life. People think that it's the church that changed the life of the person, but no, it's the Holy Spirit that is in you that changed you. But not only that, you're supposed to produce fruit. You're supposed to be fruitful. That means that it's a continuing growing in Christ. You're supposed to, every day, every year, you're supposed to be growing and producing. But God allowed us, you know, that not all of us will grow in the same way. That's why he says some of them will be 100%, another 60, another 30. But stop there. It doesn't go to zero. So all of us have to produce fruit. All of us, in some way, we have to grow. We have to, also Peter say that we should be crying for that milk of like a baby for the word of God so we can grow. Because we are supposed to produce fruit. And even in the page I gave you there, I put John 15, 8, and 16, because in that other passage, Jesus teaches that you are supposed to be fruitful. We need to grow. And when we grow, I don't know how somebody going to be passing the slices, please. You know. All right, what fruit are we talking about? There are six examples of the fruit that we are supposed to produce. The first one will be a Christian character. When you receive Christ, like I say, you seal with the Holy Spirit. And then you receive this ninth element that will shape your Christian character. It's no of the fruit of the Spirit. There are nine elements there. So when somebody say, well, you know, what happened is I was born really mad. I'm mad with everybody. You become a Christian, this will change you. Because it will give you love. It will give you self-control. It changed your life completely. You can read in Galatians 5:22-23, explain you all those nine elements that you receive, faith, joy. So that's what a Christian is supposed to show, the character of Christ. You know, sometimes, especially I lived for many years in New York, and New Yorkers are well known because they mad all the time. Since you get up, you know, you want to kill somebody, you know. And I remember that we used to go for the Californian guys because they were mellow, you know. Hey, here we go, you know. And I remember that's the way we refer to who? Oh, the California guy, those guys, man. Because everybody think that everybody here is with sandals, you know, and shorts and everything, you know. But in New York, people are bad all the time. But when you become a Christian, you're supposed to change. You know, the word of God has changed you, and it gives you a new character. So that's what, my brothers and sisters, when you behave in ways that you are not supposed to behave, don't think like, oh, I was just born like that. Remember that's what we say, that we're born again. Nacimos otra vez. Somos otras personas. Paul say that all are past. Now everything is new. Everything changed. And we're supposed to be fruitful in that way. Our character has to change. We're supposed to be joyful all the time. Or every time that we have, even in situations that are difficult for us, we're supposed to be joyful. Dice la Biblia, ¿estás gozosos? ¿Cuándo? Siempre. Estás gozoso siempre. Always be joyful. And that is part of the fruit. It'll be 100 and 60 and 30, but you're supposed to change. And that happened immediately that you receive the Lord. You bang, you seal with the Holy Spirit. The other way that God is going to reflect on us is practical holiness. We'll see these verses in a moment, you know. We're supposed to show. Remember that holiness doesn't mean that you're going to be flying in the air, you know. No, it means that, you know, something different. You will be an example. You will be a person that will be respectful to everybody, and everybody will respect you because you are set apart for God. So let me put those so we can, that's Galatians 5:22-23. Like I say, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against those is there is no law. In Romans 6:22 say, but now having been set free from sin and having become a slave of God, you have your fruit of holiness and the end, everlasting life. So our lives now belong to God. You don't behave like before because now you have somebody that you're supposed to obey, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we call him Lord, because he is the one who governs our life. But sometimes we feel like we are a macho man or a Wonder Woman. We don't care about anybody. We're part of the Marvel, you know, society. You're a Christian, you're not. You belong to God. And that is hard for some of us. Some Christian doesn't want to submit their life to God, and that's the problem. When you become a Christian, now you belong to Jesus. He is your Lord. And when you go through the scripture, he tells you the way you have to conduct your life. And you're supposed to obey him. And part of that holiness is when what we do in our life always glorify God. In your job, you represent Christ. So you have to be the best because you belong to Jesus. The worst thing that can happen is lazy Christians, you know. Man, those Christians, man, they go to church every Sunday, man, but they're lazy, man. That's horrible, huh? No, you're supposed to be the best. Because some of the people sometimes think that Christians, we are a little bit, you know, retarded or dumb or whatever, you know. Because, no, these guys, they don't enjoy anything, man. You know, they don't do this, they don't do that, you know. I don't know what's wrong with them. They have no life. You have to prove it wrong. Because in Christ, we are supposed to be in all speed all the time. Because rivers of life from Christ run through your body. Junior Diaz present for me the gospel. A New Yorker, you know, that 3 years, he talked to me about Christ. And he used to tell me that. I'm high all the time. I remember that I told you that, you know, and say, how are you high all the time? Because through me is run river of life. And I didn't understand that. And I was playing in a rock band, and I have to get high before I go to play because I thought that otherwise I wouldn't make it, you know. And he told me, you don't need that. With the Holy Spirit, you'll be high all the time. You know, say, oh, man, give me that then, you know. And that's what happened. That I realized that when you are in Christ, your life completely changed to something better. You know, there is no up and down. That's what some of you young guys, if you heard something different, especially now that everything is, you know, it'll be all this marijuana dispenser all over the place, and you think that you'll be smart and that's the best part of your life. No. Then you become dumb. Yeah. You know, the face is, oh, what do you say? Oh, my God. Red eyes, you know, putting all kind of stuff, you know. In a while, they don't really know what you're doing. And that's when you're talking to them, hey, listen, can you go there? Well, where? Well, we have to go. And I remember that. I remember when I was playing guitar, you know, I look at my bass player, and the guy was somewhere else, you know. What's wrong with this guy? When I become a Christian, I wasn't a long time ago. Imagine 69, 70, hippie time. But we used to go to Teen Challenge with it was a ministry. It started for David Wilkerson. And we used to play, you know, and sing and with those men that were trying to get out of the addictions. And I remember that vividly in my life, I could see the big difference between them and the one who were leading the music. And them, I said, wow, thank you, Lord, for have mercy on me. It was a beautiful time when I realized that, because you are supposed to have a holiness in your life. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So that's why, especially the young guys, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't think that getting high or getting drunk is life. No, it's wrong. There is the Psalm 1, every young people have to learn it by heart, you know. It tells you that if you bless, if you never touch any of these things. Why? Because everything that you do will prosper. Because you don't have to suffer some of the things we suffer, but in that kind of life. I remember one time I wake up at the beach and I say, how did I get here? I didn't know how to get there. And believe me, to get there, there was a road, really a lot of curves. It was really dangerous. And I just woke up and said, whoa, man, how did I get here? And at that time, I laugh about it. I think it was cool. I say, man, I have an automatic. There was no GPS in those times, you know, but otherwise I would have said I have my own GPS. But no, it was foolishness. I could get killed, you know. So that's what I exhort you, young people, don't be foolish. When somebody tells, let's go celebrate and do this, they're wrong. You might end up crashed in some place, or you know, or you don't know, you will become an alcoholic. Talk to an alcoholic and ask him how hard it is to get out of that. Difficult, hard. Why you start on that then? If you are a true Christian, is anybody here, you know, might be. It's a Christian, but it's still hanging like that. You have to think of this really true with, because when you receive the Holy Spirit, God give you that power to overcome the flesh and live by the Spirit and give fruit. Give fruit. So that's when people, this Christian, told me, I don't know, I'm fighting with this monster, these demons. There's no monster, demons. I haven't seen a drink or a beer that told me, drink me, drink me. No, you grab it. You put your hand there and bang, you know. I never seen a cigarette or pot that would go fly and tell me, you got to smoke me, man. You got to, I got to get you. No, you put your hand, you go like that. So holiness is fruit, fruit of the Spirit. You don't go there. You are smart. You are a new person in Christ. The Bible says that we have the mind on Christ, so we're better than that. Other thing that we have also fruit in Colossians say that 1:10 it said that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing of the knowledge of God. And that's what I was talking about. Everything you do have to reflect you obeying God, pleasing God. He is the one you have to be pleasing in your life. And everything will work for you. Everything will work for you. But sometimes we think that we are smarter than God. Say, oh, no, that won't happen to me. And that's the way the Satan deceives people. They think that won't happen to me. But eventually it gets you. And that's what is important that... It's really important that we realize that the Holy Spirit gives us that power to overcome the flesh and live by the Spirit. By the Spirit. And that doesn't mean that you're going to become a bored person. On the contrary, you'll be a happy person. If you get bored, it's because you're bored. You know. Some people say, I don't know, man. What we do now? I don't know. I'm bored. No, do something, you know. There is so many things in life that you can do. And when you really get busy, you know, either in your work or, you know, everybody have to have some kind of hobby, you know. For me, it's the music, you know. I enjoy music. So I don't get bored. I try to create something new. I don't get bored. I used to play because, believe me, this belly used to be up here. Yeah. I was an athlete, you know. I used to play all soccer, tennis, all those things. I never get bored. Why? Because you kept your life producing, giving fruit, trying to do something important. And when you do that, you grow. And you help to fulfill the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ come to die at the cross. Remember, sometimes we forget that. The reason why he come to die at the cross was because he wanted everybody be saved. And he gave us that privilege to us to share Christ with the rest of the people. So we could never be bored. We should be busy doing the work of God. So, you know, we have to understand that sometimes, yeah, life can be boring. But it's because you don't have anything to reach out. I'm old already, you know. I eat a lot of years. People don't believe my age until I tell them that I was from the hippie time. You sure? Yeah. I used to wear bell bottom, you know. You know, and polyester. Man, polyester was good, right? Remember? It was good. Especially the way the pants got tied to us, you know, remember? And we are not like the guys that, you know, the young people today, they buff, you know, they really buff, you know, muscles and everything. In those times, look at the pictures of the movies of the 70s, maybe, all bare, all, you know. Well, take, for example, Elvis, you know. He wasn't any, you know, I mean, big, bitty, you got to the money, you know. So, long time ago. But I'm telling you that I've seen a lot of things in my life. And the best thing that can happen to a person is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the best thing. Because change your life. Make you have a goal for your life and pursue something worth it, you know, on life. And that's it, being fruitful. Being fruitful means, you know, that you will produce something, you know. Oops, I turned it off. Oh, we're leaving now. Buenos alabar al Señor. We're leaving, you know. Somebody didn't like what I'm talking about. Let me see. All right. Oop. That's the last one. Somebody stole my one. Oh, man, something wrong there. Let's go back there then. And with this, I'm going to finish. You see, we're supposed to win in souls to Christ. We're supposed to be soul winners, and that's to being fruitful. In Romans 1:13, Paul is referring to the church in Rome that he wants to go and visit them and be with them. But he got a lot of oppositions. And then he said, but I really wanted to go because I want to have some fruit like I did with the Gentiles. Paul referring the older people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I would like to go to Rome so I could have win some soul for the Lord. So as a Christian, we are supposed to be a soul winner. That's the number one work that we have to be doing. Soul winning. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Try to bring people to the Lord. All your friends, your relatives, people that when you hang around with them, they go to hell unless you talk to them about the Lord. The problem with churches is that we get in Sundays or all the day and we have a good time and we talk about good things, but we forgot about all the people that are dying without the Lord. And we are supposed to have this precious message of God, that how he sent his son to die for us. And whoever is receiving his Savior, he will have everlasting life. It's a great message. If we're supposed to be soul winner and fruitful. At least in the church that God had given me, the congregation under my direction, that's the way we move, we measure what we're doing, the number of people that we are baptizing. If we don't baptize people, we are not doing anything. We are a social club, Christian social club. And believe me, it's hard to say, but I'm the first one that I felt bad when we don't do anything to produce in soul winning. I felt bad. We moved in this Hispanic congregation 5 times. And the 5 times we moved, we lose people. I hurt because of that. Every time. Because I knew that the people that always stay behind, people that still hasn't grown enough, and the devil eventually take him back. And that's why it hurt me every time that we moved. So when we came here to Calvary this time, I'm so happy because you guys have to kick us out of here. We're not going. We're going to stay here. We're going to stay here. We're not moving. We're not moving. We're not moving. But you know especially why? Because I don't want it to lose people. I want the people to grow here. And I know that that's going to happen. I feel it in my heart and deep in my spirit. I'm so happy for that. Because Christ shed his blood for all these young people. And this, when we moved back and forth, you know, we lost some of them. And we said, wow, man, you know. But now I'm so happy that I see some of these guys, like Marito and some of them. I see all these guys. I present them to the Lord. They get bigger than me now, you know, big fat guys, you know. But still, you know. Oh, Ed, I look at you, so sorry, man. But, you know, I look over Ed, you know. Because I present this guy, little babies, and now become so big, you know. So it's a privilege. Bring somebody to the feet of the glory of the Lord. Is that being fruitful? I know that God's going to use these 2 congregations. That we're going to work like one all the time. And I know that God's going to use us. If you don't believe me, don't believe me. I just need one guy to believe with me. Just one guy. Because God said that the two of you, pray together and believe that will happen. So I believe that God's going to use this congregation, Calvary Baptist Church, to reach out many, many souls for the Lord. Because we want to be fruitful. So you could read the paper I distribute there. Because my English, you know, after 40 years, still, I don't understand myself, so, you know. So that's what I put in paper. What did he try to say, you know? That's what I like the Pentecostal churches, because they think that I'm speaking in tongue, you know. So and they say, this brother is powerful, man, you know. Because they don't know what he said, you know. So if I put end to this, will be try to be fruitful. Think of yourself, and I'm producing 100%, 60% or 30%? If you say nothing, brother, you better repent and come to the Lord, you know, because you're supposed to be fruitful. So I hope that you get this message and go with it, you know, and ask the Lord to use you in a powerful way. You already have the Holy Spirit in you, so you got the power. All you have to do, put it in use. And don't think of yourself, oh, man, I don't think so. How, me? I wish you could have known me before. I wish you. Just picture me with long hair like this, Elvis, you know, platform shoes, you know. That's why my wife get in love with me, you know. Remember those chairs were open like this, you know, with a lot of flowers, you know. I never believed in my wife's life that I'd be preaching. If God did it with me, man, you are more intelligent than me and more beautiful than me. So he can use you. Go with that, please, and be fruitful. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful to you because you are so kind to us. Thank you because you died for us. Help us to be fruitful. Use this church in a powerful way and help us, Lord, to do this ministry. We love you, Lord, and sometimes we don't do what we are supposed to be doing, Lord, but help us. But I know deep in my heart that you want us to use this church in a powerful way and give us the opportunity to see it with our eyes how you will use this ministry in a mighty way. In Christ, I pray, Lord. Amen.